Hello. Here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, January 8th. Lawmakers went back to work last Friday in the state capitol. Capitol coverage reporter Scott Franz was on the House floor when the legislature kicked off the session.
Democrats took control of both chambers and laid out an ambitious agenda for the next 4 months. In her opening day speech, new House Speaker Casey Becker promised her party would address the skyrocketing cost of health care and pass paid family leave. She received one of the loudest rounds of applause when she said her party would also try to pass tougher gun laws.
Coloradans are tired of living with the consequences of inaction. They are marching in the streets and taking to the halls of this building, and they are demanding action on gun sense legislation.
Meanwhile, Republicans in the Senate warned Democrats not to overreach with their new power. Chris Hulbert leads the Republican minority in the Senate.
We will have our say, but not our way. We have the voice, but not the votes.
New Governor Jared Polis will be sworn in Tuesday morning. He will deliver his State of the State address to lawmakers on Thursday. From the state capitol, I'm Scott Franz.
Monday was Governor John Hickenlooper's last full day at work after 8 years in office. There has been a lot of speculation about what he'll do next. He told KUNC that he's still making up his mind about a possible presidential bid.
Is there an appetite for the kinds of collaborative solutions that we've created in Colorado? And that notion that we want to have a strong economy, but we want to have an economy that where everybody gets a fair chance at making their own version of the American dream. And, you know, people say, well, you're from Colorado, it's a flyover state, and Colorado's too small. Your home state is, you've got to raise a ton of money to be able to run for president. You won't be able to do it in Colorado. Well, that's what we're trying to figure out.
About 120 people showed up at the Colorado State Capitol on Friday with a message for incoming lawmakers. They'll be watching to see what lawmakers do in the new legislative year about fracking and climate change. H2O Radio was at the Capitol and filed this report.
We will not let you poison our water. What? We are the people.
On the first day of Colorado's legislative session, there were a lot of people singing, chanting, and waving signs on the Capitol steps in Denver. But those in attendance weren't exactly celebrating the new lawmakers. They were there to put them on notice.
We are the people too. You can't ignore us. We will not let you pour.
Despite the early hour and cold temperatures, members of the group Colorado Rising and their supporters greeted the new lawmakers with a message about fracking. Voters recently defeated a November ballot measure that would have required a setback for new oil and gas drilling of 2,500 feet from schools, homes, and water sources. But the activists were not discouraged. In fact, they were there to demand even stronger action, a moratorium on new drilling permits. Colorado Rising was the main proponent of Proposition 112, which lost by about 10 points. The oil and gas industry spent more than $30 million to defeat the measure, while those in favor spent less than $2 million. The rally was started off by now former state representative Joe Salazar, who left his seat in the Colorado House to become the executive director of Colorado Rising. He spoke about a new focus for the organization.
We are moving in a direction that other environmental groups haven't gone to, and that's not a dig on them. It's just saying that they haven't done it. And one of the things that we're going to be focusing on is litigating cases against the fossil fuel industry.
While Colorado Rising is becoming more active by suing fossil fuel companies, Friday's rally was more about holding legislators accountable.
The purpose of today's rally is to remind elected officials that the reason why they are sitting in their seats is because people voted them in, and the people are overwhelmingly concerned about fracking activities and oil and gas activities that are happening right in our neighborhoods.
Salazar cited the recent IPCC report from the UN Committee on Climate Change that says we have about 12 years to address global warming, and he said the legislature needs to take bold, decisive action. The urgency of the situation was what motivated people like Neshama Abraham from Boulder to attend the rally. She wants lawmakers to redefine the priorities of the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, or COGCC.
The legislators can bring forth policy. For example, we need a law, which two legislators are planning to put forth, Casey Becker and Mike Foote, that the COGCC needs to not be getting every single drop of fossil fuel out of the earth. Part of their mission needs to be, in fact, a priority to protect health and safety of people and the environment.
Even though no legislators directly addressed the gathering, some signaled their approval. Democratic Representative Jonathan Singer of Longmont said that he supports a moratorium on new oil and gas permits.
I think it's very clear right now, based on the health studies that we're seeing, that this is not something that's safe, and we need to actually take a strong step to put the brakes on before we can make a better decision about health and safety.
Representative Edie Hooten, Democrat from Boulder, arrived at the Capitol giving a thumbs up to the activists. She said she believes there is the political will in the legislature to make significant changes, perhaps to the mission of the COGCC. And Democratic Senator Steve Finberg from Boulder County said he is working on a bill with colleagues.
For me, I think the ultimate solution is we raise the standards at a state level, and we also allow local communities to go above and beyond those standards and have local control to regulate it themselves.
He thinks long-term solutions are important so that the changes made this year cannot be overturned by future legislatures. Not all legislators were interested in the activists' message. One of them just shook his head at the demonstrators as if to say, no way. But no matter which way things go in the coming session, what lawmakers do under the Golden Dome will be closely watched.
From our streams and lakes, for the children's sake, we'll be watching you.
For H2O Radio at the State Capitol in Denver, I'm Jamie Sudler.
The government shutdown has stalled the Trump administration's efforts to increase job requirements for food stamp recipients in the state. Eric Galatis has more.
The Trump administration's proposal to expand work requirements for SNAP benefits, the program formerly known as food stamps, is meant to get more people back into the workforce. Kate Casper with Hunger Free Colorado notes the vast majority of recipients who can work already have jobs. But she says frequently those jobs don't offer enough hours or pay a living wage. Casper believes taking food stamps away from people looking for work would be counterproductive.
Studies show that children do better in school, infants do better developmentally, workers are more productive if they have access to the food and nutrition that they need.
Casper adds that helping families as they weather life's storms is the primary reason food stamps exist. In December, Congress reached a deal that removed additional work requirements to pass a farm bill. The Trump administration argues that expanding requirements makes sense due to low unemployment rates. I'm Eric Galatis.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, January 8th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.